KBOO Community Radio is proud to sponsor the Elysian Brewing Breakbeat IPA KBOO Benefit on December 8th at the Liquor Store Bar and Venue in Portland. KBOO and Elysian Brewing will celebrate the release of the Manic IPA series with hip-hop, funk, and electronica spun by The Pariahs, DJ Dakimba, and Vinology. Again, that's Elysian Brewing Breakbeat IPA KBOO Benefit on December 8th at the Liquor Store Bar and Venue, 3341 Southeast Belmont Avenue in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Okay, bye. Hello, coming up now is Art Focus. Art Focus has been made possible in part by the KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Portland Saturday Market. Open weekends and daily December 17th through December 24th for the Festival of the Last Minute, offering handmade gifts created by artists from the Pacific Northwest, and is located in Waterfront Park. Local artisans, international food, live music, PortlandSaturdayMarket.com.
Andy Warhol looks at screen, hang him on my wall. Andy Warhol, silver screen, can't tell them apart at all.
My name's Joseph Gallivan, and you're listening to Art Focus on KBOO Portland. My guest this week is Robert Hoffman. He's Executive Director of the American Institute of Architects, and he's head of the Portland chapter as well. He's here to talk about the 2016 Portland Architecture Awards, which were held on November the 17th. Thanks for coming into KBOO again, Robert.
Well, thank you, Joseph. I appreciate being here.
So you're our go-to guy for talking about architecture, particularly Portland architecture, contemporary stuff, by which we mean big tall towers and little interesting-looking square houses with strange windows, and basically all the very creative architecture that goes on in Portland funnels into this award ceremony, where you kind of get to meet the firms and you bring in a jury from another city, so they're not biased. Tell us what happened at the awards.
When we talk about architecture in Portland, we have an identity that people know. Portland is a creative city. The quality of the work coming from our practitioners is very high, not just relevant to the economy or the market that we're in, it's just good, solid work. The jury that we were able to host this year, all prominent architects and educators from the Boston area and Cambridge, they said the same thing. They were very impressed with what's going on here. So we had a great ceremony last night. We had a lot of wonderful projects to look at and mm-hmm. a wonderful event.
One of the big winners was Wechter. Ben Wechter runs a firm, Wechter Architecture.
Yes.
He won for four buildings, single-family homes. So these are the kind of buildings that, you know, somebody commissions when they've got a bit of money. But these are they're pretty small and they're kind of modest. But why did they grab the jury? And the jury didn't know who, you know, everything was anonymous. So why they picked this one firm four times?
Well, that's an excellent question, because I can tell you from being meeting with the jury in the last couple of days when they came to Portland to be on stage and to review their selections, they were a little concerned they'd actually selected those four projects only because it was from one architect. But it was evident in their comments and discussion that what drew them to that work was, in a very obvious way, was sort of clarity of the design based on a concept that was strong. Mm-hmm. And so most architects will tell you that, you know, you very creative people come up with concepts about what something might be all the time, you know, a design idea. But to be able to execute that with a lot of rigor and restraint, and to follow the rules that you are trying to set up for yourself to make well-proportioned spaces and good use of materials. These houses are small, but Ben and his firm, I think the jury felt like, you know, here's an architect that is going to use any opportunity available to study those decisions and make decisions that make sense based on the design of the project. I mean, right down to, I think there was a comment last night about one of the homes. It might have been the Pavilion House, one of the projects that he won for, where there was he just did away with the need of some trim element, you know, where two materials come together. I mean, if you look at your own traditional doorway, you know, even in the office we're sitting in, you trim out an opening because that's how you hide the transition from one material to another. Well, Ben figured out, might have been Pavilion, and if I'm wrong, I apologize, it might have been one of the other homes, that, hey, if I do this a certain way with these two materials and wrap this in a certain way, I don't need that trim. Mm-hmm. And so a jury like this, we can talk about who they were in a minute, they come from an educational and practice background where it is very much about concept and development of concept and materiality and understanding the limits and potentials of those materials. So they had an incredibly focused eye on Wechter Architecture's work because, one, it is comprehensible. They're not gigantic projects, but it's very doubtful on a very large project you could take the time and the care that he does to exhibit that kind of execution. And mm-hmm. So that's why his work's appealing.
So one of them is called the Pavilion House. It's a white, it's like a two-story box kind of white house with big windows on the ground, and then one of those windows that is sort of in the corner, so it's on two sides. It's so hard to describe.
Sure.
But, you know, it looks so simple, and yet when the jurors talked about it, they said how each corner is like a pillar, and right. Inside the pillars, all the stuff is hidden, right? The stairs and the cupboards and all that.
Yeah.
So inside, you just get these two big rooms.
Well, it's just
huge glass, floor-to-glass ceiling, windows.
You do, and again, if you look at this house in the context of its traditional neighborhood, it's going to stand out significantly. This is very much a departure from the traditional residences around it. Obviously, that doesn't affect Ben. What Ben's trying to do and his firm's trying to do is to take an idea of how somebody might live in that specific place on that site. He's not responding to sort of a material context. He's responding to things like views and natural light and making movement through the house and openness of space clear and accessible. And the jurors love the project because, you know, yes, he could demonstrate, I don't know if you remember seeing these images, but he could he demonstrated sort of these concepts in his three-dimensional model studies. And when he talked about the idea of pillars, you know, you actually see that as a very smart, functional planning maneuver that made the house really work. Mm-hmm. So they were impressed with this. I mean, it's like the diagram's so simple, but to execute it architecturally, it's not simple. It takes a lot of experience and diligence to pull that off to make it a workable place to live, and it's a great project.
He has another one somewhere in Southeast. Now, you should go to his website, benwachter.com. It's just Ben, WAECHTER.com. It's called The Red House, and it's a remodel of a kind of typical wooden farmhouse type thing you'd see in Southeast, but it just covered it in red stuff. It's like red metal,
right?
And recessed the windows. And they showed the before and after, and it was kind of amazing. Why do you think this kind of thing appeals to people?
It's very hard to try to imagine exactly the vision that Wechter Architecture had, but my guess would be to take a very traditional house, you know, we saw before and after, there was sort of an audience reaction when the jurors mentioned the idea that this is a renovation, a rebuild, borrowing from some very traditional ideas, but them expressing them in a way that is highly modern, but you're still maintaining that traditional iconic house form. It's got a gable roof, but he's taken all the ideas that are the most sort of pure form of that traditional massing and aperture, and he's modernized that. So it's sort of a commentary about what we see as house reinterpreted in a very clear way. He has a way of just being extremely diligent about proportion and use of opening. Nothing is out of place. Mm-hmm. So it's not just like let's make a house with this many rooms and make sure it all works. You're talking about getting into someone's daily persona and their needs and what they're drawn to. We're talking about the cladding here. They made a comment, and this is a quote from their notes, akin to white stucco contemporary architecture in Vienna and Ticino, but with clapboard, clear zoning in the plan. So they're basically saying this could have been some kind of stucco modernism from Europe, but in fact, it got reinterpreted with a clapboard siding kind of idea, which is very American, very, you know, our traditional housing. And then when they use the word zoning, that was a word that Tim Love, one of the jurors, used quite a bit to talk about just very thoughtful planning in terms of where activities and spaces occur within the space, you know, that it actually makes sense and there isn't anything that produces an unnecessary conflict. And these jurors love looking at strong imagery and they want to make sure to tell the story of these projects, but they were drawn to excellent planning. And in this case, Tim likes to use the word zoning, clear zoning in the plan. Ben's projects show that, and I think that's why they were popular.
Mm-hmm. Most of us move into a place. We don't get it built for us. You have to fit in around what the last person had. The mayor was there. He gives his own awards because he's interested in architecture and development. He gave one to the Kearns Micro House, which is a tiny house. What is it? 200 square feet? 250?
Something. It's extremely small.
And it's basically built on a garage spot next to a regular house.
Yes.
What was so interesting about this?
Here you have a non-architect or a person in government like Mayor Hales. He does like architecture, and he's actually quite good at looking at this work. And we have him do this, and traditionally we've had a mayor's award for some time. And the mayor, in a broad sense, we hope, will think about projects that are built within the city of Portland that are actually contributing in some way to the betterment of the city or working within the plan of the city or introducing ideas that make Portland more livable, which is what Portland's known for. And he was drawn to the Kearns Micro House first because he's able to look at the site plan and he sees a neighborhood that he recognizes very well. He sees the traditional, you know, Portland sort of, you know, plan the layout of the blocks with little single family dwellings. And in the past, many of these houses had those single car garages in the back. You'd have to kind of drive past the side of the house, that side drive sort of plan, right? In the back corner, there's this little pad and an old little wooden garage. For him, the idea was really ingenious to simply make a statement with a project like this. It's this small. You know, what do you do with those little single car pads? And he talked about this. He comes down to the Center for Architecture. He looks at all the work. He usually has somebody from his staff. But Mayor Hales is quite adept at sort of picking out things that ring true about why projects are interesting to him. He's very honest about that. He does not try to go into some sort of, you know, I hate to say this word, but arca-speak, you know, like people that... He looks at things as... for what they are. And he'll say, wow, that's a neat project. That's something that a lot of people could do. Mm-hmm. And the reason he liked this was it's a great idea, but also so masterfully done by this firm. It's Fieldworks, Fieldwork Architecture and Design, or Design and Architecture. They're a multidisciplinary firm. I know the principals there and some of their staff. And what's nice is their handwork and their craft is shown in a project that it can be at this scale. And you have basically a one-room house that has to function in several different capacities.
Mm-hmm. Has a Murphy bed, right?
Yeah, has a Murphy bed. And if you look at the way the casework is designed and how it functions, you're like, wow, you know, how could anybody not benefit from having that on their property if there's an opportunity to do that? And you mentioned this earlier, the accessory dwelling unit in Portland. I mean, it's really a wonderful opportunity. Last year, one of those projects... won an honor award. So, mm-hmm.
Yeah, they changed the law and made it okay to build little granny flats.
Yeah.
And now people are doing them in interesting ways.
Yes.
And that was by Fieldwork. There, you should look this one up too. It's fieldworkdesign.net.
Yes.
Framework is a cross-laminated timber building.
Yes.
Being built by WPA, Works Progress Architecture or Project? What do they call these things?
Their firm is Works Progress Architecture.
Progress. Okay.
Progress, yeah.
So actually, they had two big winners, Framework and then Slate, which is the building by Yard at the east end of the Burnside Bridge.
Yes.
With lots of little boxes with white edges. They all look like they've been pushed in and out. What are WPA doing? Why are they involved in Framework?
That project won a merit award. Typically, in the American Institute of Architects, when we have awards programs for architecture, there will be an award called Citation. A notch up from that would be merit. And then honor awards are usually given very diligently. They all are, but the honor award has to really capture something that's moving architecture forward. Works Progress Architecture won a merit award, which is very nice, for Framework, and they won the Craftsmanship Award. And that award is one that this chapter and a lot of other architectural communities will award to projects when there's a specific demonstration of a level of care of how materials are used, how joints are managed and designed, and how the project's sort of tectonic side is expressed, you know, that there's a, you can see the making of it in the work. And the jury was drawn generally to those two projects by Works Progress, both Framework and Slate, because their firm has a real skill in understanding and wanting to express the building that way in terms of beautiful spaces, but also an honesty about how these materials come together, and their choices of material is very, very, it's a mature skill. And they're still, in my opinion, a fairly young firm. I mean, mm-hmm. we're talking about fairly young partners that are gifted and just driven. They have a driven culture, I think, within their office to explore things to the point where they're just relentless. And I think that's what a lot of people don't understand about architecture, why it's so hard, is it's just like a good painting. You see a really wonderful painting by a master, and you're like, you know, Van Gogh or something, and you go, wow, yeah, that's great. I mean, it's paint, and I think I could do that. Well, when you see it, and it's perfect as it can be, it's easy to see it as simple. But to get the refinement in architecture where that clarity is there, and the person experiencing that space doesn't see anything or experience things that are dysfunctional, everything makes sense, right down to how an opening works for a door, or how a window and a soffit come together. You know, joints are the, I mean, that's like in the industrialized world, well, even in the old world, the joint is that's the thing. You've got to figure that out, because you can't make anything without it, unless you're making balloons. I guess there's no joints in balloons, right? So they've got it easy. That better be a colorful pattern. But Works Progress, boy, their work is just, it's elegant, and it demonstrates a real hand in those things about materials coming together and how to express that. The jury, they just love their work.
Mm-hmm. Well, if you go to worksarchitecture.net, you'll see Framework and you'll see Slate, and Slate just opened. So
yes,
it's behind the Yard, that other new building at the east end of the Burnside Bridge. And it's pretty remarkable. It's built on a hill, and there's lots of interesting offices and apartments in there. My name's Joseph Gallivan. You're listening to Art Focus on KBOO Portland. My guest this week is Robert Hoffman. He's the executive director of the American Institute of Architects. And he's here talking about the 2016 Portland Architecture Awards, which happened on November the 17th. There's a big tower up in the Pearl. It's like 30 stories tall, very shiny condos, I think.
Yes.
It's got a pizza place now, a gourmet pizza place in the base. It was built by Bora, who are at bora.co, and it's called the Cosmopolitan. And this is a kind of glitzy, you know, you might not look at it twice, really. It's a shiny tower. But the jury just loved it, because it's one of those podium buildings where you have a skinny tower on a fat base. But they took the base and they kind of chopped bits out of it. And then they took the tower and they cut little bits out of that. You're using, you know, like balconies and that kind of thing. So they made a real sculpture out of it, and I think that's what the jury liked. So is there something good about, you know, building a glitzy tower that's different?
Well, it is. I think what the jury recognized, and you hit on this, it had to do with the approach to solving the typical opportunity between podium and tower. You know, that it's done in a certain way quite often, and those elements are usually sort of considered separate, but hopefully very relatable. In this case, you know, Bora took the podium and the tower, and they sort of masked it cohesively with one sort of cladding strategy. And the jury had a note that I can read from. It said, you know, unfussy. Now, this is an important word for a juror to use, unfussy, which is very complimentary. Unfussy but elegant typological approach, linking the podium and the tower with a single cohesive massing and cladding strategy, which allowed design team to focus on cleaving the tower vertically. And I think you kind of alluded to this, Joseph. By using a wall, the overall mass can read. And they said something like the contemporary equivalent of Hugh Ferris's rendering of New York skyscrapers. And they said, you know, at first glance, they weren't quite sure about the angles in the plan or the inflection in the plan. I think, you know, sometimes critics will look at moves like that. Unless you really get into it, you're like, oh, they just, you know, they just want to kind of shape this thing to make it look cool. But then they corrected that. They said, no, they noticed that those moves, those inflections in the plan itself of the building were done as a way of composing the elevations that face the parks. So
This is by the Fields Park, yeah, in the Pearl, 12th and Northrop.
Exactly. And for them, they're saying, okay, here's a fairly substantial building, and you're right, it's very iconic, it's very glassy, it's very elegant, and they shaped an entire building of this size to have a very deliberate relationship with that open space. So that instantly recognizes, not just at the podium level, the open space, but the project as a whole. And that says a lot about a city, and it says a lot about the city's architects understanding large outdoor spaces and the surrounding buildings as rooms, and that we have an obligation to the public to think of the space that we're all inhabiting that way, rather than just the project itself, you know, as an object that, mm-hmm. that just solves its own problem.
So the law is you can build a very tall tower if you make it skinny. So you have like the block is a podium. You kind of trade height. Is that right?
Well, the podium is a way of dealing with. I mean, there's other. Number one, the whole height issue has to do with zoning, and the city has a plan that deals with vertical heights of buildings so that we're preserving view corridors throughout the city. You know, and if you look at Vancouver, BC, I mean, they explored this, you know, many, many years ago, to the point where their point towers are really probably the only solution that we can look at that won't completely obliterate our views as we love them in Portland while addressing density. I mean, we're going to have to go up. And when people hear that, if they don't understand, there's ways to deal with that. They're, you know, very, oh my gosh, don't do that. Everything should remain low. Well, you know, you want a good balance, but our city plan and our design requirements for neighborhoods like this one would shape this to be as tall and thin as possible, up to a certain limit, of course. And then uses that need to invigorate the ground plane, you know, stores and public spaces. And, of course, you have to deal with parking, and Portland's traditionally smaller blocks pose challenges to that. So the podium is also a way to gather all of those programmatic elements and make them work at that scale, right? 2, 3, 4 stories.
Yeah.
And then the tower ends up being a resultant of a typically repetitive plan that just makes sense, you know, specifically for residential or office usually. Mm-hmm. So.
And they did say that each corner gets a big corner living room, like huge,
yes.
Like a big living room on every corner of the square. So, the plan.
I mean, the plan was strong. And again, the projects they awarded, even though there were, you know, several smaller residential projects that we mentioned earlier by Wechter Architecture, larger buildings like this wasn't a great example. The one we're talking about, the Cosmopolitan condominiums, you know, they're looking at very specific planning concepts, and they're looking to see, you know, how the architect was able to solve these issues and enhance livability and to put those large living spaces in places that would actually create different kinds of living experiences within that building, and make it work. So they were impressed. They were impressed with the planning. They were impressed with the massing. They thought the materiality was bold and interesting. I mean, Portland has a lot of different kind of buildings, but we're not really known as a city with large, really large glassy towers. Most of our towers, with the exception of a couple, are, you know, clad in brick and tile and other things and metal. And this one is so glassy, you know, but it's elegant. And I think they really like that.
Mm-hmm. You can go see it at bora.co, bora.co. And the last one to talk about is called Karuna at One North. It's a another strange looking building. It's up on North Williams by the new Seasons, and it kind of looks like melting igloo. It's just got all these curves, big. I don't know what I don't know how to describe it. It's just, it's amazing. It's sort of curving and yet it's all boxy. And inside there is a huge office space, and there's a courtyard. This was built by Holst, who are very well known here. Why do you think Karuna at One North impressed the jury?
Well, if you recall, the mayor liked this project too, and his reasons overlapped the jury's, although the jury had an easier time dealing with some of the very sophisticated ideas incorporated in the sort of massing of the building. But on an urban scale, it really does an amazing thing. It works in complete tandem with an adjacent building that it is not a part of, and creates a very usable shared public space that's quite accessible from at least two sides, maybe three sides. And the scale and massing and the use of materials, it's just it says a lot about how you deal with office space in a fairly dense site. It's not an unusually tall building, but its massing looks more like a residential project. And the jury made comments on that and talked about, you know, here's a thing where you're taking the typical office open floor plan concept, but you're also recognizing that even in the way people work, there's something happening with sort of collaborative work and teams and groups of teams. And the building somehow is massed in that way, and you see the large volume is broken down into all these sort of sub-volumes, and that is expressed in the exterior with this amazing sort of wrap of material, and where these elements come together, it's just it's very hard to explain without mm-hmm. seeing these images, but it's fascinating.
They said it looks like an apartment building. You look like
it does.
It feels like you're looking in on someone's apartment at night when it's all lit up.
It does.
But it's actually offices.
It's all office. And then you mentioned earlier the part of that building that houses what's the company?
Instrument.
I mean, there's just a massive wood framed heavy timber, like, open atrium where the folks at Instrument gather for major presentations, and that space is amazing. It's it reminds me, and I think the jury too, of the open space at Wieden and Kennedy.
Yeah,
it's like you look at that and you say, wow, that is ideal. So now we see those ideas cropping up in a lot of projects. There was actually another project by Holst that had a space like that. But it's like their work is very disciplined. It's very creative. They have ideas about buildings that sort of start to push a typology. And this jury, I mean, these jurors are all, they all teach at Harvard, and Tim teaches at Northeastern, and their practices are very, they do very thoughtful work at a number of different scales, but they instantly reacted to this project by Holst as one where they're, you know, the architect and their client and everybody that was involved is thinking about, you know, what does it really mean to be in an office building? What is it really, how can it look from the outside? Rather than just some, you know, sort of the typical office plan, and even an ingenious use of cladding or daylighting schemes or being able to manage energy. Those are all important things. But this one makes a different kind of move about office space as expressed on the outside. And it's just a lovely building. I mean, you look at it and it's a pleasure to be there. They went and saw this project, among others. And their comment was, wow, it's even better in person. I mean, they're very keen to saying, wow, these are amazing photographs. And they did have to evaluate these projects in Boston simply by those images and drawings. And they take that seriously because to them, images are real. I mean, it's a way of expressing what this is. But when they went to this project, they were very impressed. It holds up. It's even better in person, is what they said. Great work by Holst.
My name's Joseph Gallivan, and you've been listening to Art Focus on KBOO Portland. My guest this week was Robert Hoffman, the executive director of the American Institute for Architects. He was talking about the 2016 Portland Architecture Awards, which happened in November. Thanks very much for coming into KBOO, Robert.
Thanks, Joseph. My pleasure.
Andy Warhol looks at screen. Hang him on my wall. Andy Warhol, silver screen. Can't tell them apart at all.
You're listening to KBOO Portland. New and increased contributions to KBOO are matched through the end of the year. So if you've never been a KBOO member, now's the time to join. Your membership will be matched dollar for dollar by the Collins Foundation and SSI Shredding Systems. If you're already a member, consider increasing the amount you give. If you give KBOO $100 right now, you will be making it $200. If you are an old member and you are renewing and you decide to add an extra $10, say make it $110, it will be matched and become an additional 10 on top of your original 100, so $120 increases. Take advantage of this exciting chance to have your generosity matched dollar for dollar. Don't wait. It's easy to do.